interesting actually on the Great is Thy Faithfulness, how the imagery of creation evokes this response to God. And I was, as we were singing that, I was thinking how as individuals often we sort of think, well, I need some time with God, I'll go out into the countryside. And yet we start with God's presence in the garden, but actually in Revelation we end up with God's presence in the city. And I wonder sometimes whether we need to rediscover God in the city as well as finding God in the countryside. I'll just leave that as a sort of as an aside for you. We're going to be looking at John chapter 7. And I want to speak about Jesus as our living water, but I'm just conscious that we don't want to just over-spiritualize things. Because sometimes we can think about water, it's very practical, it's very nice, but the real need of people is spiritual. Now, there's a truth to that, but it's very easy to say that when you're drinking clean water. And I think God's concerned about both. And actually, when we read that psalm earlier, at the very beginning when Dan read it, did you notice in the psalm the interweaving of creation language with the story of Israel and the giving of the law? And it's not that there was a God of creation, and that's quite separate from the God of salvation, that the two are one God. And I think sometimes if we over-spiritualize it, and we just, well, it's all about our personal salvation, missing out the whole point. Actually, we're called to be his creatures, his stewards in creation. Then I think we'll do ourselves a disservice. So we're going to come to this story. And the Jews used to, they knew Exodus 17, and they used to redo it as a reminder. They used to sort of practice it again. They had a festival of tabernacles or booths, because when they were going around in the desert, they had to have like tents to stay in. And so to remind them of their history, they had this wonderful feast of tabernacles. And at the feast, the priest would remember Exodus chapter 17, and he would do something as a reminder of the story that water came out of the
rock
at Herob. Adults should have known that. Okay? So to remind him of this. And he would stand, and there would be crowds there, and we're going to get to read, there would be crowds around. And he would stand at the top of the steps. This could ruin the communion table, I'll do it here. And with a great basin or bowl of water, they would pour water down the steps. This great rush of water coming down. And as that water came down, they would be reminded of the water that came out from the rock and quenched the thirst of a really thirsty people in the desert. So you can picture this. 2,000 years ago, the Jews were there around this great festival time, and the priest would be at the top, and he got this pitcher of water poured out, and it goes gushing and cascading down the steps. And with this in mind, we read from John's Gospel. On the last day, and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty," and they knew about the story about being thirsty, "let him come to me and drink. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And by this, he meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So we have this water scene rushing down, this remembering of this story of 30 people in the desert. And Jesus stands up and said, if you're thirsty, like they were in the times of Moses, if that is your condition, then you need more than just the H2O. Come to me, and I will give you something special to drink. I will quench your thirst. Streams of living water will flow from within him. And Jesus was speaking about the Holy Spirit who would come and transform people's hearts and people's lives. We know when we are thirsty for water. I was cycling with Sam on Dartmoor two Fridays ago, and I was just amazed how our bodies tune in for what they physically need for a feat of great endurance and manliness. We were cycling across up to Haytor, big hills. I had a craving for Mars bars, just for that sugar. I hate Mars bars, normally sickly things, all too sweet. But actually, when you get to this point where you've been cycling in such a manner, with such speed and endurance as we had, freewheeling down the hills, your body tells you what it needs. In the same way, when you're thirsty, your body tells you what it needs. And if we go out for a run, there's nothing more satisfying than quenching your thirst with water, because that is what your body is trying to replenish. We know what it means to be thirsty. And I believe within us there's a spiritual thirst that we at times will try and quench with the wrong things. We look to satisfy it in other ways. We'll drink unclean water. Or we'll just go around feeling parched and thirsty for something which is of greater truth or goodness or beauty for our lives. We will feel like those people in the desert who are thirsty. The sun's coming down on them. It's not a place of life. It's not a place of growth and flourishing. It's a place where you feel parched. And I think in our hearts and in our spirits, we know what that's like. And this is what Jesus is speaking about when this reminder from the feast of this water of people who are thirsty, but they will be thirsty again. And Jesus was to give something to those who believed in him, which would quench that spiritual thirst for life, for truth, for goodness, and for beauty. And it's God's provision, just as the striking on the rock was God's provision. So the gift of the Spirit is God's provision for us to quench and to satisfy our spiritual thirst, our thirst for connectedness with God, for that new life that comes by the Spirit. The striking of the rock also speaks to me and speaks to us about the need for Jesus to be glorified. It said the Spirit hadn't been given because Jesus hadn't been glorified. And maybe we can think about the striking of the nails in the hands of Jesus, that the punishment and the penalty had to be made, that a price had to be paid for this gift to come, and that Jesus paid for that himself on the cross so that we might know that provision. So we can think about God's victory with the striking of Christ. We think about God's provision of the Spirit. And we can think about God's plans for us. That springs of living water, water that brings life, will well up from within. That the Christian life is about being changed from the inside out. It's not about going around parched or empty. But there's a provision and there's a gift. Just as that image of water that comes into a desert, and within a short space of time, life bursts forth. So that is true with the spiritual life. As we receive what Christ has done for us, as we're filled with the Spirit, so the Spirit brings life to us. And we are shaped after Christ. There are so many images of water bringing life. And as we drink our water, we can think about how it nourishes our body. But let us today also think about the price that Christ paid so that we might have the water of the Spirit that might bring us life and change us from the inside out and satisfy our spiritual thirst. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that Jesus invites each one of us who are thirsty, thirsty for truth, thirsty for freedom, thirsty for new life, thirsty for forgiveness, thirsty for a relationship with you, thirsty for hope, thirsty for transformation, to come to him and to drink the water that he provides, that is the Holy Spirit. And we recognize, thank you, Father God, for for the access we have to drinking water. We recognize in our own lives the times in which we haven't drunk from the water that you want to provide for our inner life. And we at times feel ourselves thirsty for something that will satisfy and will rehydrate us spiritually. This morning, Father God, we say, fill us afresh with your Spirit. Thank you that the provision has been made because the victory has been won. And let us not run on empty, but be filled and go on being filled for the glory of your name. Amen.